Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast.
Oh, what's that for?
That was my impression of baseball being locked out, Jack. We have no baseball right now. What am I supposed to be like, hey? Welcome to the Phillies podcast, where we've got nothing to talk about, Jack.
Well, I don't know. I guess a yo for talking to you once a week is like, you know, I would give.
Okay. You know what? Back it up. Here we go. Okay. Back it up, ready?
All right.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. How was that, buddy?
Now I can see why Zoe's still awake. I gotta be honest.
So for those a little inside baseball on a baseball, pseudo-baseball podcast with baseball not around, Zoe, Jack was just a party to Zoe not wanting to leave the basement so I could record, screaming, I don't want to go upstairs. It was good stuff.
Yeah, and then you turned around and screamed. I mean, she sounds like a seltzer already, pal.
Definitely had a seltzer vibe going there. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, it's I don't know. I gotta be honest, James. Like, I haven't really noticed baseball's gone. Like,
wow, of all people.
Well, I know, because this is what happens every year. Like, sure, we had the flurry of moves, and it was like, wow, this is awesome. But like, that never happens. Like deals usually trickle in every now and then.
No,
like,
that's true.
There's maybe like
that's
two
true.
Moves.
They wait till after the meetings. It's usually till like, you know, January, February these days for moves to really start out. It's a good point, Jack. It's fair.
Right. Like this happens every offseason where there's no baseball movement from now until, I want to say, like, early February. Like, you get a little bit of movement around the winter meetings, but I guess even then it's like, oh, well, this is a rumor or whatnot. But even the winter meetings have sucked the last couple of years.
They have.
So, yeah. So like, for me, this is just, dude, Bryce Harper signed in March. Like, this is nothing. Like, honestly, baseball, you got a lot of work to do to kill me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm strapped in for the long haul.
I like you. You are just, you're a master at this, really, truly, to just, it's almost like you've convinced yourself there is no lockout. Like,
I swear to you,
totally fine.
I legitimately don't think there's a lockout. Like, I just I've put it so far out of my head, and I've already convinced myself Kyle Schwarber's a Philly. Like,
I know.
I gotta be honest, James. If he's not a Philly, I will be just as devastated as if Bryce Harper was not a Philly. It's reached
probably
that level.
Untrue statement.
It's probably an untrue statement, but I'm just letting people know how serious I am about it. And you know what?
You've really gone down the Schwarb hole in a big way.
I mean, know.
Originally, you were like, oh, that'd be cool. I'd be in on Schwarbs. And then you start watching Schwarber film and this and that. And then all of a sudden, you're like, I literally will not be able to breathe if Kyle Schwarber is not a Philly. It's an amazing transformation you've taken yourself.
Well, James, you and everyone out there listening, I would say that no one in this media market talks themselves deeper into players than I do. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I think we all know that.
I don't think
keep
there's
out of the bio, please.
Yeah, well, and you ready for my fun Kyle Schwarber stat of the day?
Ooh, is this going to be a thing? Like, are we going to get a Schwarber stat of the day through the lockout, only to have him sign with the Red Sox as soon as it ends?
Don't
be a good bit.
Don't put that hate on me. Kyle Schwarber was top 10 in both expected WOBA and swing percentage, which means there is not a better combination on the free agent market of swing decisions than Kyle Schwarber. The guy just knows what to swing at, and I will bet on that going forward. Like, literally, he was top 10 expected WOBA. I think his expected WOBA was 399. And his O swing percentage, which basically means he doesn't chase out of the zone, was also in the top 10. Like, that's elite. That's an elite eye, James. That's an elite eye.
You tried to make this exact point on WIP, the listeners' heads would explode.
Oh my God, we'd be starting getting calls like, "Yeah, I don't want that freaking WOBA. WOBA, get that out of here. What's his average? Oh, he's 260 last year. Get him out of here." Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm supposed to react. It was perfect.
You want me to keep going?
I feel like you just, I was at work for a second there. I was locked in. And then I was like, oh, wait, recording a podcast. That was pretty good, buddy.
Yeah, let me tell you something about that Schwarber bat. 260, strikes out a ton. Like, and then they can break it. Yeah, his OAA was in the 1 percentile. Means he doesn't know how to defend to save his life. How's that?
The WIP caller said that. I honestly think I might drop that on the spot. What? Like, I would be so surprised.
You don't think they do it outs above average?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, buddy. Well, I'm happy you're in this place. This makes me happy. I'll be the one who stresses about the labor strife and the, you know, two groups of people who've hated each other for 60 years. And, I'll stress for us. You just live in this Kyle Schwarber's affiliate land. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, James, I'm pretty good at blocking stuff out. I don't know if you can tell, but I can kind of go down, you know, I can pigeonhole myself as one thing. And, like, there's not really much to me, you know? I like
give yourself more credit than that, buddy.
I
think there's a lot to you. I think you're layered.
Well, I'll say this. I like baseball, Jill, music, my friends,
and the
High Hopes podcast, and TV shows, and that's about it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And rom-coms.
Yeah. Oh, I love rom-coms. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah. It's a little inside James and I's relationship.
Yes.
I have long trolled James about, like, movies and how and how any movie would be a better TV show. Like, I firmly believe that any great would make a better TV show, because TV shows are just frankly better than movies.
This is live trolling on the podcast.
But we realized in driving back from Cooperstown a couple of years ago, James was like, "Have you seen this rom-com?" I'm like, "Yeah." Have you seen this? I was like, I basically had seen every rom-com besides
literally everyone I brought up except When Harry Met Sally, which you saw
right
since.
And I did love it. Yeah, no, I love
it's
rom-coms.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so
I know.
So I do love rom-coms, but yeah, like I can just block out the whole. I have literally zero interest in any labor discussions. Like, literally wake me up when baseball's off, when they settle this whole thing. Yeah.
Well, that's good, because guess what? We're not talking about this podcast.
Baseball.
Labor negotiations.
Yes, I sent James 100 things to talk about last night. Guess what? Not one of the topics was labor discussions.
Inside baseball again. Jack and I were originally going to say, we were like, what if we just did the pod and didn't talk any baseball at all? Just went as long as we could without talking baseball. But
well, the longer this goes, longer the lockout
that's our
goes.
Plan for February, yeah. If you take us till February, this is going to become a rom-com and TV podcast.
Yeah, it'll be our next bit. Is how long can we go without talking about baseball / Kyle Schwarber?
I love it.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to put Schwarber in there. That's going to be the toughest part for you.
Well, it's fine, because I still watch Schwarber highlights every single day.
Yeah, well, that's important. We are going to talk some baseball today, but I think in the spirit of the lockout and the, you know, how it, you know, I guess not with you. With you, it engenders blissful ignorance. But with me, it engenders anger and frustration. Obviously, you know, towards the owners mostly, but across the board. Let's have some fun today, Jack. Jack had a great idea. In one of the 15,000 ideas that Jack sent me, again, for there being a lockout right now. I'm sorry. Don't tell Jack. For there being a lockout right now, Jack really had a lot to talk about. You had a lot on your mind. So yep. Tell him your idea, because I love it and we're doing it.
So I wanted for us to build our ultimate starting nine of our least favorite Phillies.
Yes.
Because there's a long list. It's been you don't become the losingest franchise in sports history by having some losers, I guess, on your team. So everyone has their least favorite, and I thought it'd be fun to do a least favorite Phil's starting nine, because James, next week.
Yes.
Maybe we got to figure out the schedule.
Yeah, look, Christmas is coming up, New Year's. So like, let's say coming up soon, yeah. And then more consistently once the holidays are
right.
Over.
So our next podcast,
there's a decent chance we don't record over the holidays, but we will be back.
Yes.
We were joking about never recording again. So we're here.
Either way, our next podcast, we're going to draft our all-time Phillies team. Go head to head. And see who built a better team of all-time Phillies.
Mm. It's going to be probably the most devastating thing that's ever happened to you when my team's better than yours. Like, I can't think of something that would hurt someone more than to lose, than you specifically losing an all-time Phillies draft. Like, that would just crush you. Like, yeah, you wouldn't recover. Could you recover? I don't think you'd recover.
No, I mean, I certainly wouldn't handle it well. I'm usually one that keeps my composure and, you know, and very even keeled. But I would not handle that well. I would honestly, I don't really like getting into Twitter fights. If someone started doing my mentions, I'd probably just sit there fighting with them all day long, like breaking down war and how he'd build this team. But I'm pretty confident in myself. I'm an elite team builder. Everyone knows that. They know the perfect offseason. So I'm looking forward to it.
I've seen the perfect offseason here and other places and then other places and other places. It seems like, you know.
I was
it's
just
really
gonna bring
some widespread to it, so to speak.
I was just gonna
sprawl.
I was just gonna bring it up. I wonder how many all time Phil's drafts are gonna happen after, or in between. You know, I'm just putting it out there. We're gonna put this podcast out on 12/16 between now and when we do our all time Phillies draft.
Beat us to it. We made the mistake of mentioning it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I know teases are important though. So
I know.
You know. I mean, you know. Life's all about good teases, what I tell myself. And
bits. And bits. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Life's too short for it not to be a bit.
It's about teasing the bits and then doing the bits and then teasing them again. That's the move.
I agree. Also, life update, James. You know how we used to do Run Fritz Run?
Yes. Oh, I know where this is going. You told me earlier.
It's turning into like a thing. I mean,
how many miles did you run today?
Yesterday I ran 4 miles yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going from the back in the day where I was like, oh, I did my mile and a half loop and I'm dying, to 4 miles yesterday.
Wow.
And last week I did 3 miles every single day. Today I did 2.5. So. Listen, I might be a runner guy. I might have to do a 10K next. You know, Jackie 10K?
It's pretty disappointing. Of all the things that's happened in the history of this podcast, you becoming a runner guy is like top tier disappointing.
Yeah. Well, wait till I get snooty about it too. Like I haven't even reached snooty.
You're not there yet. I'm shocked. Honestly, I expected it a little quicker.
Yeah. Well, it's coming, pal.
I know. Trust me. All right. Let's do it.
Yes.
The all-time worst, most hated sports hate. You know, we don't actually hate these people as human beings, but when we talk about some of these people, I'm gonna say I hate them because I sports hate them, and that's what's gonna happen.
Now, important distinction: this does not mean they were the worst player, just your least favorite.
No.
Yes,
and also another important distinction: only during our lifetimes. Like, you know, I don't know. I didn't see Jim Costanti. Like, I don't know if he was a jerk and I would have hated having him on my team. I wouldn't, because he was an MVP. But
right. You
know what I'm saying? Like, if there's some guy from the 60s or 70s that everyone hated, like, we're sorry, they're not going to be on our list. We're just doing guys we personally hated.
Right.
Fair?
Fair as it is.
Okay. You want to start or should I?
Well,
we'll start a catcher. We'll go around the diamond, obviously. We'll say pitcher for last. I know technically, pitcher is the one, but we're going to go catcher, around the diamond, back to pitcher.
All right. I will go first on catcher, and then I'll give you first pick on first base, and we'll go from there, okay?
Love it.
I am taking the wotes of the wote catchers. I'm sorry, James. You can tab him as well. But Rod Barajas, easily.
Wow, Rod Barajas.
Oh, the worst. Didn't protect home plate. Gave up on his teammates. 2007 Phils was a disappointment. Now, I will say, Rod Barajas did pave the way for Chooch to take over for him and turn out to be the best catcher in Phils history.
Probably. I mean, Leiby, you know, would be offensively better, but I think I'd take Chooch.
Well, Dutch. Dutch, boom.
Dutch, but Dutch wasn't as long, you know, as long run, but Dutch would be up there too. But yeah, Bob Boom was legit back in the day, but yeah.
Not many guys have caught 3 no-hitter/perfect games.
Yep, it's true.
Chooch.
Not many guys have been the catcher of the Philadelphia Phillies when they won a World Series. In fact,
only
two.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Only right. Two.
This is where it's going to get fun. First of all, look, I'm honestly shocked you didn't say JT Realmuto, but, you know, I'm happy that you didn't.
No, I don't.
Along those lines, you know, honorable mention Andrew Knapp on my list. He didn't make the top spot, but I mean, you know, after this past season, I mean, let's be honest, dude went back to being Andrew Knapp, the Andrew Knapp we all hated. Like, what a horrendous baseball player was he in this year. But here's the fun thing about our list, Jack, is that we'll get a few of them here on my list where I can, you know, add a little, I'm an old man flavor.
Love it.
So my catcher, who the Phillies signed, and I was so excited as a kid because I knew him from the Tigers. I was like, this dude is a baseball player. He's awesome. He's going to be a Philly. And then Lance Parrish sucked as a Philly. He was horrible. Like, what a disappointing sign, as they all were, until Jim told me, like, my whole life, any sign they ever made, I was like, well, that sucked. Any big one. It was not that there were that many. But Lance Parrish is, like, a perfect example of someone we were excited about. He's a good baseball player, came here, and stunk. Not a Lance Parrish fan.
Yeah, well, and Lance Parrish is one of those guys that always gets talked about when it's like, what was the worst free agent signing in Philadelphia sports history? It's him. And then it's like, well, who's the other one? Danny Tartable?
Well, yeah, don't tease my list too much.
Buddy. Oh, sorry.
Little Danny Tartable coming later.
Love it.
So it's my turn on first base, and I actually realized that I think this is an unfair one. And I'm trying to pivot on the fly because I forgot that when I was younger, I met him and he was like the nicest guy. Like, he was such a nice guy. So I hesitate. I was going with a similar vein because when Greg Jeffers was a Met, I love that dude as a baseball player. I was so excited that the Phillies signed him. I was like, yes, Greg Jeffers, like, what a stud. And he was good for like 1 year and then he stunk with the Phillies. So it always disappointed me. But I forgot that when I was 7 years old, I met Greg Jeffries and he was like a sweetheart of a guy, Jack. He was such a nice guy. So I feel bad about putting Greg Jeffries on my list. But as a Philly, I didn't like Greg Jeffries.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Now, I will say, I can't really cut audio and use it later, but did you say the term "I love that guy" as a Met? I mean, you the listeners may or may not know.
As a player, yes, as a player, he's a good player.
The listeners may not know, but James was actually born in New York.
I talk about that all the time.
Live there. Yeah. I'm smelling. Like, were you big Steve Cohen guy too?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, this is good.
Anything else you want to tell the listeners?
You're here. Good stuff.
My first baseman, I was going to use him for third base, but then I remembered he also played first base. How about that, Wes Helms? I hated Wes Helms, man. Like, oh my God, he was such a loser. Oh, his face just screamed, I'm going to strike out. He had a terrible swing. It was slow. He killed us with the Marlins randomly, like him and freaking Conine. Like, Wes Helms would randomly be good against us. And then we signed him, and it was like Orlando Scandrick when he signed with the Eagles. Like, you just never trusted him. He was always a Marlin, never embraced him, never got a big hit. Wes Helms is my first baseman.
It's a great one. Total loser. Hated his face. Like, I hate the face guy. Not a Wes Helms fan. Good one.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Second base. I have a controversial answer, by the way, but you're up first.
Okay. Second base is a loaded answer. But since I'm going first, I'm taking him off the board. He was the worst. He was terrible. He came up to bat in the final out of Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. They were all afraid of this Michael Martinez. And everyone in Philadelphia was like, is that Michael Martinez? Shout out to Brian Coulter for that tweet that I feel like comes up once a year.
Honestly, it's one of my favorite tweets in Twitter history, the Brian Coulter tweet. It's so good. It's like, yeah, a Chicago Cubs Twitter, like, you know, freaking out. Indians Twitter tweaking out. Phillies Twitter. That's Michael Martinez. Yeah, it's so good.
We all knew how that at bat was going to end. So.
Oh, I would have bet my life. If you could, and back then they didn't have like live in-game betting and all that stuff. But, like, if I could like live in-game bet my life on an at bat, that would have been the one I would choose. Like, I would have bet everything I had he wasn't going
to
come through.
Imagine him coming through with a big hit to end, like, get Cleveland, the Guardians.
The Guardians.
A World Series. But, yeah, like, imagine him coming through in that moment and, like,
the problem is you can't. You can't imagine it. Like, you can't.
He goes down in Cubs infamy as the Michael Martinez game. Like, it was never going to happen. So, Michael Martinez is my second baseman.
It's a great answer. I thought about putting him there. The reason I didn't was just because, like, I never expected anything from Michael Martinez. He didn't play that much where I was like, I was just like, oh, that guy sucks. Like, he's a horrible baseball player. Like, that was my whole thing. But I didn't dislike him because, and you'll see with my answer here, there were never any expectations for him, Michael Martinez. My answer for second base, and this could be controversial, but I believed in him. I thought he was going to be a stud. I thought he was going to be a part of this podcast in the sense that we were going to talk about him for years as this foundational piece. Scott Kingery, you suck. You suck. What a disappointment you are. You're got millions of dollars and you didn't earn a penny of it. And I'm super bummed that you're costing money on my luxury tax every year. Car owner obviously won't go over it for nothing. So Scott Kingery, my least favorite second base.
Yeah, it's a good answer. It's a good answer. What a disappointment. Can I put my extras out here for second base?
Oh, please. No, absolutely.
Yeah. Ty Kelly. I to this day think I can get out. I think he hit a home run against the Mariners, and I was like, how did that happen? Like, there's
also, can we be honest here? And no offense to Ty Wigington, and no offense to anyone listening to this podcast who goes by Ty. Go by Tyler. Ty sounds ridiculous. Like, it's the thing you tie around your neck. Like, T-Y looks stupid. It's like a stupid looking word. It doesn't look like a word.
Wow.
Ty is dumb. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Going after Ty Daubert, huh? Wow, that's a listener to the podcast.
I mean, think about it this way, Tyler Daubert, boom! Like, how much better does that sound?
Yeah, you're telling him to grow up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, if your name is actually Ty and it's spelled differently or whatever, different discussion here. But when it's T-Y and your name is Tyler, just go with Tyler.
The strong take on Ty.
Thank you. And I feel like I had to bring it.
My other name was John McDonald.
John McDonald. I forgot John McDonald. You're going with some obscure dudes up there.
I couldn't stand it. I don't think he got a hit here. I really don't. I would have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure.
This is good because I think my list is more mainstream where you're getting the real deep cuts, which I love.
That's what I do, pal.
That's us. That's what we do here. It's perfect.
All right. You got first for shortstops.
Oh, so we're go. So you're not a you're go.
Oh, I'm not the book guy
the
where it goes 5-4.
A book guy, because in my list I had third base.
All right, go third base. No. Go third base.
Okay. All right. I hate this guy. Turns out he seems like a total asshat of a person too. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know him well or whatever. I'm talking just sports hate. Another guy we had expectations for. We thought he was going to be good. Not as good as we thought Kingery was going to be, but he turned out to stink. Cody Ashe. You suck, Cody Ashe. Thank you.
Okay. Poor Cody. Was he the next Utley? I think a columnist in this town.
There were real expectations there. You know, whatever.
Okay. I'm going with no one else but David Bell. I mean, there was no one else that was possibly going to make my list for third base. Even if he took David Bell, I wouldn't have cared. He would look so miserable to be here. Didn't look like he smiled once playing for the Phillies. Me and my granddad used to fight about David Bell. He liked him. I hated him. I think I ended up being right on that. So I will always hold that against David Bell. And it still drives me crazy that he is the last Philly to hit for the cycle. And I
it
need,
drives you so crazy. You bring it up so often.
I need it. I need it.
It's like
end.
One of those really random things that really no one else in the world cares about but you.
Well, I think Phillies fans care about the David Bell thing. Like we need another cycle. Like we can't keep having to remember the David Bell cycle. Like it was not. No one was. All right. All I remember is this: is that I was so not happy that he hit for the cycle the night he hit for the cycle. I was like, oh really? This guy who stinks hit for the cycle. So yeah, no, was not a David Bell guy, and I need the cycle thing to end so we can move on and erase the name from the Phillies record books.
Shortstop.
So this is going to be controversial, because he had one moment that people love to remember and really inflate how good this guy really was. When I really remember this guy as Captain Double Play. And that is Wilson Valdez, who literally was allergic to not, like, he would ground into double plays every single time he hit.
He stung.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a better pitcher than he was later.
Oh, it was dreadful. Like, it was literally dreadful. And, like, and to this day, it's like, oh, Wilson Valdez, he pitched that one time. It's like, yeah, he also grounded into, like, 100 double plays for the 2011 Phils. So, like, I don't want to hear any more of the Wilson Valdez thing. So, Wilson Valdez, my least favorite shortstop of all time.
Gotta admit, shocked you didn't go Freddy. And I know it's not Freddy, but the Freddy fans. Like, you know, that's always been one of your...
I know. I agree. I was gonna put Freddie there, but then I remember, like, I was excited that he came back. Like, it was cool. It was cool to see Freddie again. If we did this podcast 3 years ago, Freddie is my shortstop, just because,
yeah.
Like,
okay.
Oh my god, it was like, oh, he's a Gold Glover. No, he never won one.
Well, he's better than Andrelton Simmons. You didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, Freddie would have made it, but I was, you know, happy to see Freddie this year.
Okay. Mine, I'm going to do another old guy one. And again, it's, you know, my old guy, not super old guy, even though to Jack, I am super old guy. This is one where I hated him before I even saw him play. This is strictly as a player, nothing, you know, but I grew up with my dad. Like, whenever my dad would make a joke about the worst hitter, Steve Jeltz was the name that he would say. You know, he's like, oh, that guy's... The only guy that guy's better than is Steve Jeltz. Or Steve Jeltz made Mendoza look like a star. You know, like all kinds of jokes. Like, my dad just would tear Steve Jeltz apart. And I came into Steve Jeltz just saying, this guy's the worst. And guess what? He was the worst. He was a horrible hitter. He was horrible to watch. Stevie Jeltz, my shirt. Seems like a fine fella. But as a baseball player, not great.
Yeah, again, another one of those names that always gets brought up when we're talking about this is yep. Steve Jeltz. Desi Relaford had some, like, out of nowhere comments, like, ripping Philly, like, 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, they got everyone all upset. I thought you were going to go Relaford, but Steve Jeltz is a good one.
Okay. Right field, I mean, why don't you go first? Because mine, you already mentioned before. So, it's just a quick, Danny Tartable, you said it. The guy signed, he was here for 11 games. 11 games! And he was so good in Kansas, and he's like, Danny Tartable! The Yankees, like, yes! And not just that, he got hurt, and then was like, bleep it. I'm just retiring. I'm done.
Nice.
Great, Danny. Thanks, man. He played 11 games for the Phillies and then retired. Like, awesome.
And this is always gets brought up, but about the Danny Tartable, that's the worst signing ever. Because they gave him like $1 million a year, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they paid him like in those days. And again, he played 11 games and retired. I think in the end, it's not as bad a signing because he retired. You know, he didn't lose too much long term, but just brutal.
Well, yeah. And then I watched Jill and I rewatched Seinfeld and the Danny Tartable episode. And I was like,
oh, with George, it's great.
Yeah, that's the guy.
I love that episode because people never talk about it, but that is the true invention of launch angle. Like, launch angle is what, like, Costanza talking about launch angle. That's how he's hitting the ball at the park. He's like, no, you got to hit it up like this. And like, that's launch angle.
Revolutionary. Get George Costanza in the Phil's analytics department. Let's get this thing going.
What have I been saying? I've been saying it forever. George Costanza.
The Phil's are a Costanza away. Been saying it for years. Again, my right fielder might be controversial, but...
Oh, don't do Bryce. It's not fair, Jack.
I know. MV3. It's not Bryce, but he also had a lot of expectations coming in here, and honestly... It made me more mad when he left and turned into this, like, oh, the heart and soul and leader of a Giants team. And that is Hunter Pence. I was so excited when they traded for Hunter Pence. Yeah. They had to bat him fourth with Howard out, and he just could not do it. Another guy who I felt like grounded into 200 double plays a year. Hunter Pence, like, sure, good game. Let's go eat. That was a fun moment in the when he first got here. But they needed him to be the Worth replacement. And Hunter Pence, who I think is more talented than Worth, literally could not do it. So Hunter Pence, I think if he was better, those teams would have had a better chance to compete for a World Series, but he did not live up to the hype here. And again, I got
went to San Francisco and did exactly what we wanted him to do.
Oh, my gosh. He's like, firing the whole team up and like turning into a legend. And here he was one of the guys that could not handle Philadelphia. So,
yeah, that's a really good one. And it's one you wouldn't think of. Like, no one's thinking that because he just seems like such a great guy, too, and all that. Like,
he's a fine guy.
Yeah. So awkward, though. I know he's great as a player, but he looks so awkward doing it. He's one of those guys where it just doesn't look like it should work, and it does. But it didn't here. It's a great one.
Well, the swing was so weird. Like, I can't...
The whole thing, like, he was so herky-jerky in everything he did, you know?
I know. It never made any sense. And then, like, was age, like, 38 season with the Rangers? He made an all-star team out of nowhere when he's playing, like... I think he might have been playing the Mexican League in the offseason, and he went all the way back to the beginning, pretty much, like all the way down to the bottom, got back to the top, made an all-star team, and retired. Like, the Hunter Pence, he was so good when he wasn't a Philly, which is frustrating.
Yeah, well, it seems like a trend at times. All right, center fielder, I would be shocked if we don't have the same person.
Am I going first? I'll go first. You go first. I took Pence. You go first.
Okay. I mean, it's Odubel Herrera. Like, hate that guy. Hate him. And we obviously hate him off the field. Like, he would win this for off the field. If we were doing, like, most hated off the field athletes, he would be right at the top of our list. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the moron who played for my team for 5 years, 6 years, whatever it was. Like, the idiot who every single night, every single game, found a way to do something stupid, to not hustle, to not run out of the box, to like bat flip on a lazy fly ball to right field. Like what an annoying baseball player to have on your team. Like, and again, hate him off the field too, but like, just as a baseball player, Jack, like, what a dumb, moronic player to have on your team who causes way more harm than he does good. I hate Odubel Herrera as a baseball player.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was a very frustrating player for a lot of people, and the off the field stuff certainly didn't help. But my answer is actually Captain Noodle Arm Ben Revere, who, like, he batted 300.
I actually should have seen this. He batted
300. I don't care. I don't care that he batted 300. It was 300 singles. Like, it was just single there, like all that stuff. And, oh, in the center field, no one's defense was more overrated here than Ben Revere. Like, he wasn't good at tracking the ball. So it was like, oh, well, like I'm so fast that I'll get behind and then I'll run it down and catch it. That's how he made, like, the catch in Cincinnati and stuff like that. Like, you just couldn't – he didn't get good jumps in the ball. And again, the batting average thing, it's like, I batted 300. It's like, that's fine, but they're not impactful 300. And also, I'm 99% sure I had a stronger arm than him. Like, he could not throw the ball from center field on a line. It was a lollipop every time.
Yeah, I didn't hate Ben Revere as much as you, but the arm I'm definitely with. But I just knew what Ben Revere was. I didn't expect him to be more than, you know, that 300. I was like, yeah, this is great. This guy's getting on base. Good for you, Ben. But I get it. He was more annoying than not. By the way, I feel like an idiot, Jack, because I did this whole thing about going around the diamond, and then I did right field before left field. So
yeah, how's that feel?
Yeah, like an idiot. If we're being real about it, I feel pretty dumb.
Good.
Jack. Pretty dumb.
Good.
Pretty dumb.
That's what you get. That's called accountability.
It is. All right, left field, you're up first.
Left field, I am taking a guy who they drafted number one in the 2016 Rule 5 draft, and that was Tyler Goodell. I hated watching.
I forgot Tyler Goodell was a Philly.
Yeah, I didn't. I had to, like he was so skinny. I was like, this guy has no shot. And I remember, like, there was legitimate hype about Tyler Goodell coming from the Rays. Like, he could be something. Like, they stole him from Tampa. And then he got here, And like, I think Elliott might have more power than Tyler Goodell. Like, I seriously do. Tyler Goodell was awful. And like, the only thing he's known for is like throwing out the guy at the home plate against the Reds, you know, when Cameron Rupp blocked the plate. It's the only good thing from the Tyler Goodell era. And it, honestly, just having him play left field was just a total waste of time.
All right. I went with a much more mainstream answer. First and foremost, I mean, J.D. Drew is the answer, but he never really was a Philly, so like, it doesn't count. But we all know J.D. Drew, the most hated left fielder in Philadelphia Phillies history, whether he was ever Philly or not. Hate that guy. Hate him. Hate him. But in terms of someone who's on the team, and look, again, a controversial answer because the bat is great, and I really appreciate it, and I love him, and I'm happy he's here, but you know, that year watching Rhys Hoskins play left field is like the single biggest abomination to fielding that I've watched in my lifetime, in my entire life watching baseball, and including like as a team, it was the Phillies for the first 2 months of this season. We all remember that, you know, but in terms of just one player in one position, it's the worst thing I've ever seen, Jack. We had to watch a year of the worst left fielder, the worst outfielder we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And for that, I'm sorry, Rhys. You're on the list.
Wow.
Is that too much? Is
well,
it overboard?
Well, yeah, I mean, Rhys in left field, like, I can't believe they did that. You want to talk about like miscalculation of resources.
They can't even move around at first base. It's unbelievable. Like, what were they thinking?
All that just to, like if you're signing Jim Thome, I get it. If you're signing
Carlos Santana.
All this for Carlos Santana? Are you kidding me? Cause Santana's a fine player, but you know, Rhys just had a monster year. Like, you're trying to build off that, and the first thing you do is you stick him in left field.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It should have been a bigger red flag.
It was, and then by the end of the year, they had Santana playing third. They had Justin Bour somewhere. Oh my God! Like, it was the first year of Gabe Klentak was insane. What they tried to do, like, really, really,
and
like,
they won 80 games somehow.
I know. Yeah,
that's how. Gabe got the most he could out of that team, Jack.
Well, nothing ever came of Gabe, right? Like, he got fired from here and never got another job.
I don't even know what he's doing. He's probably, you know, I don't know.
He's back to blogging. Oh. He's
yeah,
that's probably what he's doing now. So, you know, I mean, they made the right decision moving on from Gabe and keeping Klentak for that extra year. It's really, really, really good time. So,
that with the Gabe thing, like, obviously, you know, bummed and all that, but like, The keeping contact for the extra year was like by far the biggest.
Well, only because they had to pay him. Like, literally, it was only because they had to pay.
That's the point. And you literally missed out on the hire from, like, because that would have been the hire. Like, that would have been the hire.
Well, I don't know.
Pushed for him. He might have gone to Boston anyway. But like, that was the off season. If you got rid of him, Haim was a finalist before. Like, it made sense at least. From Philly, you know, all that.
I still think he would have chosen Boston over.
He might have. He might have. And that's a separate thing. He might have.
Well, honestly, I think it worked out pretty well. I mean, I know.
I do too. I'm happy with Dave. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying, like, that move of keeping Klentak the extra year really was just a horrendous decision.
Yeah, well, in that time, it was only because they just didn't want to pay him to not do anything. They didn't want to pay him to, like, go away. And he was still getting paid last year. And I know what he did for the Phillies. So, but yeah, recent left was insane. And, like, you know, people talk about Schwarber's defense. Like, Schwarber looks like a Gold Glover compared to Will Reese.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And Schwarber, Schwarber, again, was, like, in the first percentile on Baseball Savant of, like, OAA or whatever. Like, literally one of the worst defenders in the sport. And, listen, it wouldn't be great having Schwarber out there. But, again, when we're coming from the baseline of having to watch a season of Rhys Hoskins in left field, it's fine. Everything's great.
All right, starting pitcher. This is Jack was kind enough because when he suggested this idea to me, I only said, I was like, well, we're obviously going to have the same starting pitcher. And he goes, oh, this person? I was like, that person. He's like, I'll pick someone else. You can have him. But everyone should know that the clear 100% decision for both of us, between the two of us, the immediate name that I thought of when this list came up, the only man certainly in Philadelphia, and honestly, maybe in the history of ring ceremonies, to get booed as he got his World Series ring, Adam Eaton, we hate you, buddy. We hate you so much.
And he probably
$24 million.
Hates us back, which
it is pretty. Jack, do you think? I mean, I know it's in Philly. You know, we haven't had many of them, but like, do you think he is the only person to ever get booed in a World Series ring ceremony?
I would think so. I mean,
that's got to be. I mean, come on, like that doesn't happen.
Well, and I never forget. I was there and very proud.
I was too.
Very
I
proud to
too.
Boo him. Yeah.
I was booing. I was a hearty boo. It was a hearty boo.
I could not stand. And he's so smug about it. Oh, he's so smug. And what drives me crazy is, like when they clinch in 07. And it's a dog pile and everyone's freaking out. The first face you see is Adam Eaton giving his dorky little high five to whoever. The first face you see when the Phillies clinch the NL East is that waste of $24 million. So, yes, Adam Eaton is far and away the leader for our rotation. But I will say, I started thinking about it more and more. He might have been a better investment than Mr. Jake Arrieta.
Ooh, I don't hate this move you're making here.
I mean, 25 million a year. I mean, at least Eaton was 24 over 3 years. Jake Arrieta, who was a total stiff here for 3 years, was just dreadful. Like literally was done. 25 million a year for absolutely nothing. Like, Jake Arrieta gave this team absolutely nothing. He was trying to fight Todd Frazier. He threw Scott Kingery under the bus. No.
Didn't he always took ownership? It was always his fault. It was never put it on anyone else.
No,
Very
accountable. Very accountable. Yeah, that's the first thing I think of when I think of Jake Arrieta. Two other guys that would be rounding out my rotation of least favorite, Brett Oberholzer. Who I literally every time I took the mound, I was like, oh, they have no shot tonight. Like Brett Oberholzer, one of the Ken Giles trade guys, I think might be from here. I don't know, but just awful. And then Tyler Cloyd, who I will never forget, 85 miles an hour coming up through the system while I was throwing 85 miles an hour, like back in the day, got up here and was just dreadful. So, Tyler Cloyd, also on my rotation.
It's a good one. All right. Finally, relief pitcher.
There's a lot. There is a ton. But the one that got... There's a lot. But the one that I will vividly remember just loathing, and then eventually I got under his head at Citizens Bank Park when there was batting practice and he was with the Marlins. And me and my friend were in left field for batting practice, and he was out there shagging fly balls. And I yelled to him, "Qualls, you suck!" and the two teammates turned around saying, "Yeah, keep going, keep going." Chad Qualls, I could not stand him as a Philly. So Chad Qualls would be my answer. Now, there's a lot of other answers, but Chad Qualls was just dreadful here.
Yeah, so it's a great answer. Chad Qualls high on the list. Like you said, there are so many. I said, you know, I thought I really went through a lot of names, rifled through names. And then I said, you know what? This is our list. This particular one that was my list. I can do whatever the hell I want. I'm taking the 2020 Phillies bullpen.
Wow.
The entire group. Sorry, Hector. I really do love you. You're the man. But, like, you're all in. The worst bullpen we've ever seen. The worst bullpen in the history of the sport. We hated those guys. Hated those guys. They're the worst bullpen ever, Jack. The 2020 Phillies bullpen. They have to be on there.
Yeah, I mean, Workman and Hembree are like the one.
Workman and Hembree are right there.
Well, I mean you're
Brandon Kinsler from 2021. You probably throw him on the list.
I mean, you're giving away an ace in Pivetta. It's just, you know. What it really symbolized was giving away talent for nothing. Connor Siebold, like, come on.
It was the last of many horrendous moves in the McClintock era.
Yeah, what a GM. What a GM.
Brandon Workman. God, I hated that guy. Hembree.
On the face. There was no worse face to see when the Phils blew a game than Brandon Workman. Like, he just had the mopey face on his, like, all the time. Just, again, dreadful. And like Boston, he was good. He was good in the AL East. And then he came here and it was like, oh, just every time he came to a game, I was like, oh, wow, they're going to blow this. Awesome.
Yep.
My extra name on this was, of course, the O-Monster. I mean, come on. how could it not be the O-Monster?
How could it not, Jack? It's a really good point.
Well, I mean, listen, you trade Cliff Lee. It's like honestly, the idea of trading Cliff Lee actually made sense. It's just they didn't get one prospect out of it. Like they tried to rebuild the farm system on the fly and do it with one big trade, and it like the O'Monster, Tyson Gillies, JC Ramirez, like they tried to do it. It just didn't work. But the O'Monster was the prize of that, and literally couldn't throw a strike. Just could not throw a strike. So O'Monster, congratulations, you are an extra in my bullpen. But Chad Qualls will always be number one, and I have real estate in his head.
Yeah, not to, you know, offend more people who couldn't help it but be named something. But, I mean, a pitcher named Philippe, you just had to know that wasn't going to work, right? It's like, oh, Philippe? I'm scared of Philippe on the hill?
Yeah, man, it didn't help that he was 6'8". He was 6'8", though.
Well, his name was Philippe. Huh? I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be scared of a guy named Philippe, right?
Plus, he's Canadian. Who would ever believe in a Canadian pitcher?
Another great point, Jack.
Pivetta.
This is fun. I think this is cathartic right here, getting a little hate out when we needed to.
Well, listen, it's been a long time. I mean, it's been a literal decade in between playoff appearances, and there's been a lot of pain from that point on. A lot of hope, you know, in some cases, and just a lot of mostly disappointment in the last 10 years of Phil's baseball.
But at least they're not in a lockout, right?
Well, that's the good part, is that there's no lockout going on right now. There's no lockout going on. Everything's fine in the sport. And come February, we'll be down in Clearwater, just excited for Kyle Schwarber to be in the lineup, ready to go, ready to bat leadoff and lead the Phils to a 2022 NL East title.
Love it. All right, I'm going to go put my yelling daughter to bed soon. Is there any take bag stuff, or we kind of cover it all?
You know, I got nothing to take back. I will say today's the anniversary when they traded for Roy Halladay, which of course was an exciting day, except it also meant trading away Cliff Lee, which was one of those days like, what the hell's going on? And I got a new TV today, and I've already started thinking about.
Ooh.
Yeah. Early Christmas gift. And my first thought was, wow, Kyle Schwarber is going to hit 36 home runs, and I'm going to see them all on this TV.
All right. We will be back soonish. Certainly no later than after the holidays. Maybe during the holidays. We'll see how it plays out. Either way, we're going to be back with a all-time Phillies draft. Don't worry. I'm sure there'll be a lot of all-time Phillies drafts out there in the meantime now that this is out there. So you'll be able to find one when you want to, I'm sure. But we're going to bring it. Me versus Fritz. Fritz versus me. Fritz, like, sanity on the line here. Mm-hmm. This is big.
A lot of Twitter polls. An article on the website. Well, we'll blow this thing up.
I'm so excited. All right, this is fun, buddy. I'm happy we're talking, even though there's never mind. Even though baseball's there, nothing else is going on.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's written himself into it.